Good evening and welcome to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and I have Rodney Lalo with the Backroom Bistro or just Backroom Bistro?
I think we've gone to Backroom Bistro.
I meant to ask before.
Yeah, we are technically, we are the Backroom Bistro. Okay. You find us at on the web at the Backroom Bistro, but more commonly, I think we're just accepted as Backroom Bistro.
I actually think you're kind of even getting cooler and you're just the Bistro now. I've heard that.
The Bistro. Yeah. That's actually, we are too. Pretty much known as that as well. So, and hashtag BRB Tennessee.
Oh, there you go. So the Backroom Bistro is a restaurant here in the heart of the city. I mean, it's right downtown on Broad Street. Mm-hmm. And is that where you've always been?
So in 2010, so I opened the Starbucks store here in Cookeville, which I don't, some people don't know at this point.
I just had a big, what?
So I moved out here, moved my family out here, and I transferred with Starbucks Coffee and opened the store here. So I'd opened a bunch of stores in Phoenix, and it was just a great way to kind of get out to this area. We liked the area, wanted a better place for our girls.
I'm not saying it like why, but like
my wife has some extended family here. Her mom had bought some property here. Her grandma grew up here, so there's some roots here for her. Mm-hmm. And we just, when we would come out, it just really felt right for us. We liked the fact that Tennessee Tech, it keeps some culture in the community. And that it's close enough to the cities, you're an hour from the airport, which is nice. And we just kind of fell in love with the charm of the city and the South.
So you came and started, opened the Starbucks here. Were you a franchise owner or
no?
So
all of the Starbucks stores corporate are run by Starbucks. So there aren't any franchisees in the corporate operations.
So you're, as a kid growing up, did you think, I want to work in coffee. I want to work in management. Did you think, this is just a stepping stone for me? What was, a 10-year-old Rodney, what did you want to do?
Right, a 10-year-old, that's scary. So I worked in restaurants, from about 15 and a half on. And so it was kind of in my blood. It just became what I did, what I knew. I was drawn to, I think, probably the people and food connection. It seemed natural to me. And as I grew with that, so I went to Northern Arizona University and I got a hotel and restaurant management degree. I thought I was going to be a music education. And I thought I was going to, I sang in that, and that's where I met my wife in college, was singing. She played piano and we sang together in choir. And I thought that was what I was going to do. I had a passion for music, especially the way that my high school music teacher had brought it, and his love for music and the way he took care of kids and created that environment, almost like a Mr. Holland's Opus kind of feel, but I've quickly found that I was not cut out for that. I got C's or failed basic theory a couple times. would turn my wife gives me the famous, gives the famous saying to people from time to time about me playing piano, but we had these volumes, you could turn your volume off. So I'd take the test and turn the volume off and still act like I was playing. and actually I was probably more busy going, hanging out with the guys, this is kind of funny, and watching Days of Our Lives than I actually was going to class.
So, you're watching midday soap operas.
Watching soap operas with the guys, which was funny, but so some of it was just that I was young and in college. Some of it was that I wasn't going to, it was too difficult for me at that point to learn some of those things, I think.
But so you got a degree in hospitality?
I got a degree in hospitality management, hotel and restaurant management is what the school coined it as at the time. And I kind of found a real interest in the kitchen at that point. I hadn't really done much work in the kitchen. My mom, you know, taught me how to cook when I was young. My mom had cancer and I had to kind of stand in. And so I learned a lot in that process.
How old were you?
I was probably junior high age, somewhere in there, you know.
Did you have siblings that you were cooking for?
I did.
Home?
So I was the oldest of three boys. Mm-hmm. So I became the surrogate girl, basically. Yes. So that was a good experience. But when I got to school, I actually asked if I could spend more time in the kitchen. So it was a very small portion of time in that program that we had in the kitchen, but they had an actual working kitchen and a little hotel as well. So you did time in the hotel and you did time in the food operation. You either did front of the house or back of the house. And usually it was going to be front of the house because they needed more servers and that kind of thing. But I specifically asked to do more time with the chef and learned from him, and that I just really enjoyed that. And I found the creativity of food and what he was doing. He was doing things I had never seen before, you know, putting enoki mushrooms on an Asian soup that he had created. And, you know, he was also really into gardening, which was cool for me too. So he was taking these were the early insights that I had into this local food movement that we're kind of all working on here in Cookeville together.
In case you're just joining us, we have Rodney Lalo with the Backroom Bistro Inn. And so you came here from to start the Starbucks here on Interstate Drive?
On Interstate Drive, yep.
Okay, and yep. So you're doing that. You move your family here. And right. And you're settled into a nice kind of community atmosphere here.
Right.
And what makes you think I should open my own restaurant?
Well, actually, I had kind of started my own thing in Phoenix. 1999, actually. We were going to party like it was 1999. I was going to University of Phoenix, had a master's degree there. And they had these food services brought into the campuses, to these little satellite campuses, because some of the campuses weren't big enough to have a full service operation themselves. And so I built my thesis around serving food at their satellite campuses. And that's kind of where my menu started. The menu that we have today, a lot of the core sandwiches were built in that time. So basically that's when I kind of started to get this creative idea and put together some of the menu that is the bistro still today.
So were you, you were still in school then, I guess, if you're working on a thesis.
So I was a food and beverage manager for Wyndham Hotels when I started, and going to the MBA program at University of Phoenix in the evenings. Mm. And then I transitioned to working for Starbucks in that time. And then I was working for Starbucks and then going to get my MBA at the same time. So.
And what made you decide to get your MBA? Did you think that you would be, or was it just helpful to the managerial parts of managing food?
It was more for me than anything else. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be marketable. But really I wanted to learn, and I kind of wanted to just take that next step. I felt like it was time to do that. I guess what I really enjoyed about it is I was able to take that final project and make it something that really meant something to me.
Mm-hmm. And develop a menu, kind of,
right.
Kind of put the skills to use. I mean, it seems a little bit too that you had this creative side with the music, mm-hmm. that you were, you had that creativity within you and you needed an outlet for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what I've learned, especially these last few years, maybe the last 5 years, is that I am a chef, but I'm a different kind of chef. You know,
you're wrinkling your eyebrows as you say this, like, you know, and I have a questioning tone.
Yeah. I have a hard time being a quote chef. But I love the creative aspects of food, the creativity that goes into it. And so I'm not measured in my approach necessarily. And so sometimes it's hard for me to be a chef because you have to be so measured. So I'm finding that I'm able to find other people to come alongside me and work with me who have those measured pieces. And my creativity can be utilized and kind of lead the way, and then I can get others to stand in and help me with the in-between pieces.
Which is kind of what we always say with entrepreneurship. You have your passion, but there's a lot of other avenues that you need to fill in the gaps for. And so knowing where you need the help, to knowing where you're strong and where you're weak, is really important.
Right. And I think that is a vital learning process, especially for entrepreneurs. Because we think that we can go out and do anything, you know, mm-hmm. and we don't think about, you know, most of us don't think about, you know, the things we can't do, mm-hmm. Because the reason we make it is because believe that we can.
And you're going to figure it out.
And we're going to figure it out.
And maybe you're not the best at that. And there is help that can come along. But an entrepreneur has that don't take no for an answer kind of spirit.
Right.
You know, that grit that's just going to keep pounding until it works out. And even if there are simpler ways by having other people on board, sometimes it's that drive, you know.
Yeah.
So what year was it that you decided to open the Backroom Bistro?
So we initially opened what we called Clear Creek Bistro.
Okay.
So my dad and I used to hike into a canyon called Clear Creek. Well, there was a creek in Arizona that comes out of the White Mountains of Arizona in the Eastern Mountains, and it comes down into the Verde Valley. And so we would hike down into that canyon, and we'd go fishing, and we'd spend a night down there in camp. I lost my dad when I was 20. I was in college in a traumatic work accident. And so that was kind of my tribute to him. And it sounded good as a name, mm-hmm. Clear Creek sounded like a good food name to me. So we opened that operation in 2010. So I had left Starbucks. The corporate world was getting bigger than I was. And Starbucks was, before the recession, Starbucks, I always say, kind of had their own recession. So it was getting hard, and basically it was just time for me to move on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when we opened Clear Creek Bistro, and that was in the Premier Medical Park. And we had that for about a year and a half.
Over on Washington.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I thought, man, this is going to be great because our style of food is going to fit with
healthy.
It didn't really come off that way. The people wanted, what they knew basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were very different for people. Now we did establish a really regular clientele, and we reached out in the community and, we're a part of a lot of things and, we did, I guess we stimulated a lot of creative interest in food in that year and a half of time.
And that's 2010. And
2010.
So you're there for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then you decide maybe we need to move. We need to do something else.
So I was not going to do food anymore. I was spent. I was done.
Well, let's figure out right after the commercial, we'll figure out why you decided.
Yes, cliffhanger.
The Backroom. Dun, dun, dun. The Backroom Bistro. We'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back. You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton, and I have Rodney Lalo from the Backroom Bistro. And so we're in 2011 now-ish.
Yeah, 2011-ish.
And it's not really working. You're doing something that the community hasn't really seen. And so you decide, okay, this little cafe in the medical park is not working.
Right.
So you're going to get out of food, and then what?
Yeah, so I spent time I've done landscape on the side, so I did that for a while. And that's actually where I met, I was already kind of connected a little bit with Jeff from the Biz Foundry.
Mm-hmm.
But I did the landscape gardens on the sides at the old Biz Foundry building.
Oh, yes.
He knew that I needed some work, and I was kind of in between. Did that work, did some odd jobs on and off, helped some people, filled out a bunch of applications. This was kind of recession time, so there wasn't much out there. And I wanted to stay in town. That was my goal. My girls were in, junior high school. We had just had a little one. She was two, I think, one or mm-hmm. two. So, I really wanted to just stay connected to this community. And so then this place became kind of popped up. I ran into somebody who's a contractor, and I knew him from Starbucks, and he said, "Hey, you should come over to our building. We're doing, you know, our restaurant's available." And I said, I kind of knew about the space because I had seen it before, and I said, that's interesting. And I knew I wasn't finding any work, and I was, you know, how am I going to take care of my family? And so somehow we got to the conversation, and Jim Fleming, who owns the building there, had had a bad experience with his previous tenant. And I was struggling. And so we were both like, I don't know, do we want to do this? And so we talked a little bit, and he was gracious. And we went ahead and, I went back to Judy, my wife, and I said, well, listen, you'll never have to do anything with this one. You'll never have to do it. And she goes, yeah, sure. Okay. but she didn't say that to me, but, anyway,
and the girls have worked there.
The right? girls had worked at the over at Premier. They had their own aprons and stools and things, you know.
Yeah.
So you know, it was kind of neat, but it was difficult at times too. So, but what happened is we signed the lease. 2 weeks later, I got a call from Aldi Grocery, and they said, "You know that shift manager position you applied for? We can do you one better. We've got a manager trainee position." So, I couldn't pass up a job with a paycheck.
Mm-hmm. A stability,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So I trained with Aldi here in Cookeville for a year and mostly did evenings and did what I could to stay days at the bistro while we kind of launched. And Judy filled the gaps, which she, as I had told her, would never have to do. And then they transferred me to Knoxville to take over a store in Knoxville. And so I was driving back and forth to Knoxville every day.
And was the bistro open?
Was open and we were operating. And so Judy had to stand in and actually fill my space at the bistro. And we were open 7 days a week at that point because I had a Sunday brunch. And that was the most effective way for people to see what we were doing. So we were doing 7 days and I was working 5 days, 10 hours a day plus driving back and mm-hmm. forth and then working the weekend at the bistro. And so it was a tiring time. It was a tough time. And I found myself kind of in the fetal position in the corner saying, I don't want to do this anymore.
And I know at some point you kind of, we're like, how do I pivot? I know you and Jeff had some big conversations. You found the Biz Foundry and
right.
He kind of gave you some guidance and how you could set yourself up so that Maybe I don't know that was why you were able to leave Aldi, but kind of set yourself.
Yeah, Aldi helped me with that. So that's the only place I've ever been fired. Oh. but it was actually it worked out. It was a good thing. And I started taking some tech courses at that point too. So I was working with Jeff some. I was connecting at Tech. I started taking some agriculture classes with Dr. Earhart, who is a mentor. And that was good therapy time for me too, just to keep my hands busy.
So in case you're just joining us, we have Rodney Lalo with the Backroom Bistro. What sets the Backroom Bistro? Why is it different? What sets it apart?
To me, it's about the overall experience. It's about the people and the food. But it's just a special place, you know?
Well, and these are your creations.
Right.
And you're there in the kitchen. You're there at the front register.
I'm all over the place.
You know, and you do some catering as well. So you'll mm-hmm. do some, and you're the person that's delivering the catering.
Right.
The stuff to different venues.
Right.
So you kind of do it all.
But yeah, it just depends on the season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then you have a team that you is there and taking care of things too.
Yeah.
So, as you've gotten your business established and doing well there, you got involved or maybe it was hand in hand with the Seed Fork
right.
of the Highlands. And right. so can you tell us a little bit about what that is and how you the role you play with them?
So going back to that time we just left off, I was going to Tech and taking some classes and, I, in that process of getting started, I ran into Ellen Wolf, who was in my building at 39 West Broad. And she had a life coaching business there. And she had brought me some stuff from her garden from time to time. And I already started to do some local foods. And I was working with the Downtown Green Market as they were fledgling and new. And I was going down and doing some cooking demonstrations and things and trying to use as much of their product as I could.
Why?
Oh, just because... Because it's at the core of good food,
yeah.
You know, and if you can know your farmer and you can know where that food came from, you can tell that story, and that's what I realized too. I love to tell the story, and so I guess maybe that's the part of that creative side. You know, I'm an INFP, and it's a quiet creative person. Now sometimes you wouldn't know I'm quiet, and sometimes you would definitely know I'm quiet.
Yeah.
But that telling that story. So a lot of INFPs that I've looked back in the past are writers. So that's how I write. I write through telling that story, basically.
Well, and I think you don't necessarily knowing the farmer, but I think you believe that's what really sets you apart is that you believe in the local, you believe in the businesses. So another business that you started working with was Meg's Bread, and you started buying this. Girl was making bread from her farm, and she, because of kind of your belief in her, now she came to us and started working with us too, and she's able to open. She's going to open her own bread store.
I know, it's fantastic. So that's what excites me. You know, it's the people connection around this. It's the way that we support each other. It's the way we grow together. So you know, Meg came to me, I came to them actually. The Downtown Green Market. We started working together a little bit and talking and doing some, we did a farm to table dinner together, and that was a lot of fun. And then I was trying to figure out how can we get her bread in, but she was only doing it in the boule, the round loaves. And so I'm like, I can't make that work. So I went to her and said, can you do maybe a loaf bread? And she said that she probably could, and I'm trying to figure out how we slice that. And I had been thinking about how do I slice, you know, if I get whole loaves, how do I slice bread? And always thinking, man, I don't need one more thing to do. But I had found a bread slicer down in Chattanooga. And so I had been looking at that, and I said, well, there's a bread slicer. She had been looking for one too. And I said, well, there's one down in Chattanooga. So I went down and picked that up for her so that she could slice my bread for me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's neat to see that all of that collaboration come together.
Do you think, and you have a background in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Do you think, I've noticed with a lot of the entrepreneurs that there's just something, I hate to say magical and seem like fairy, but there's something different about the collaboration that we have amongst entrepreneurs in this area. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think so too. Definitely. I think, you know, the restaurateurs, the entrepreneurs, just there's a feeling of let's do this together.
And let's all, high tides raise all ships.
Yes.
So, you know, let's all get this tide going. Let's all work together instead of against each other.
And I think that's so important for our future. We have to look at the big picture of this community and where we're trying to go together. And bring our resources together rather than just be in our pockets. You know, we are in a key point in time, in my view, in our community, where we'll look back on this and we'll say that was the epicenter of what Cookeville became.
We went down a tangent and we only have a few minutes left, but Seed Fork of the Highlands.
Yes.
So
Seed Fork of the Highlands.
What is it?
It is a nonprofit that Ellen Wolf and I started back in, I guess it must have been about 2013, somewhere in there, 14. And so the idea is everything from the seed to the fork. So Ellen was doing horticultural therapy with Dr. Earhart, which is therapy with plants and people. And I experienced that therapy just working with Dr. Earhart. I needed something to keep me busy. I sat in the greenhouse, and like I said, I'm an introvert. So I sat in the greenhouse and did my thing with the plants. And that was therapy for me at that time. Mm-hmm. So I understood that. I was doing farm to table dinners. And I loved that experience. I loved telling the story of food. I loved being able to engage the audience that way. And the creativity piece, of course. So as we looked at that, we said, how can we do this? You know, and we thought, well, maybe we just go out and try to do this on our own. As we did that, we decided nonprofit would be the best way to go. Kind of a lot of what I've done has been, it's all been not for profit, but I kind of felt like this is a way to take more of this out with more resources. So Seed Fork of the Highlands, basically our goal is to connect community through local food, bring people around a table together with local food.
Thanks for coming in today, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much.